Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, no, it's the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard on the eve of the return of the Scottish Premiership after the international break. Brendan Rodgers says Celtic are waiting to find out the extent of Kasper Schmeichel's injury and explores a new deal for Daizen Maeda. Barry Ferguson believes Rangers have been too nice, something he wants to change going forward. And Stephen Robinson's frustrated to be without the suspended Tayosi Olasanya for tomorrow, hoping that the rules can be changed in instances like this one. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
60,000 people inside Celtic Park, a good heart side coming from the other side of the M8, a goalkeeper in goal for Celtic who is untried. One game against Raith Rovers does not constitute a proper trial of Vuyami Sinisalo. So tomorrow, we are back with a bang. And I have never, ever known a championship match to get the publicity that Ayr United versus Dunfermline Athletic is getting this weekend. I cannot wait for that one to start. And I'm glad that we've sent Roger Hanna to be the UN ambassador in the middle.
Yeah, for me, obviously, after a disappointing international week for Scotland, I'm really looking forward to the domestic stuff to be back on a Saturday afternoon. I think it's going to be a real test for Rangers, obviously, away to Dundee off the back of their Dundee Derby result, and obviously that much talked about Rangers away form, so really looking forward to it.
Yeah, Hugh, it's like the absence makes the heart grow fonder, if that's the right phrase. You know, we're back in the Scottish Premiership. And looking forward to it, because now this is it. This is the big bit of the season.
It's like the astronauts who were stuck in space for 9 months and then they came out and thought, oh, good, we're back. And that's the way it will feel tomorrow, because Celtic have already rescheduled the party date. It was supposed to be against St Johnstone at Perth next weekend to celebrate the title. But it's not going to be there, obviously, because Celtic lost to Rangers. Now, what is the fallout from the defeat to Rangers at Celtic Park? The Celtic supporters will be going there tomorrow, I repeat, against a good hearts team, and they'll be looking at Celtic and saying, go on then, make up for it.
0141 951 1025, that is the number you need. So come on, share the excitement with us. How are you feeling about the return of domestic football? We've heard from Brendan Rodgers today, Celtic fans. He's speaking about a potential new contract for Daizen Maeda. How much of a priority should that be? What is the plan here? Is he a player that Celtic would cash in on? Or is he at the age you just sign him, keep him, try and get even more out of him than you have already, if that's possible? What do you make of a potential new contract for Daizen Maeda? We've sort of speculated all week about Kasper Schmeichel in terms of how long he'll be out. We're actually not really any the wiser, but clearly it is going to be for a bit of time imminently. And yes, Sinisalo is going to come in and take his place. Brendan Rodgers backing Kasper Schmeichel to eventually bounce back from his international disappointment. So give us your thoughts there on what the goalkeeping issues look like tomorrow and onwards for you Celtic fans. Of course, it's the first time we've spoke to Brendan Rodgers since the game against Rangers, so of course he was asked about Vaclav Cherny, and of course he answered it. He says it was disrespectful and he wouldn't want his players doing it. Eventually this topic will have a line drawn under it, but not yet, it seems. So 0141 951 1025. Been hearing from Jack Butland as well from the Rangers camp, opening up on his new relationship with Alan McGregor, who of course is in there as a goalkeeping coach. So give us your thoughts on this weekend's action, Rangers fans, because we have been speaking about it. Yes, there have been highs in Europe and there have been highs against Celtic, but everybody does keep acknowledging in many ways these are the real tests. How do Rangers now go and try and win week after week after week domestically against opponents that they've struggled to break down in the past? So what does that look like? Is that, you got a different team in mind? You got some players that you do or don't want to see play? Maybe a change in approach in some sort of way? You tell us. 0141 951 1025. Who would have thought it? Dunfermline, arguably the top most spoken about club on Clyde One Super Scoreboard this week. If you've anything left on that, you can do. Maybe you're going to the game tomorrow. I wonder if we could find a neutral Hugh that's just decided to go on the back of Brown, Lennon, Wanyama.
Well,
that's my task for tonight. Anyone out there that's just been taken in by all this?
I think there'll be plenty of them, because I repeat, I've never known publicity like it for a championship match, and all perfectly justified. Whoever thought that a man who sat on the bench in a Champions League final for Tottenham would be on the park for Dunfermline against Ayr. So all of the topics are there. It promises to be a great match, because take away Wanyama and Lennon and Brown and put in the league situation where Ayr are trying to be the champions, Dunfermline are trying to avoid the playoffs at best, relegation at worst. So what actually happens between 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock is vitally important to both clubs.
Yeah, looking forward to that championship action tonight as well. So loads to get through there. But come on, this is it. I know some of you have just been waiting in the background. Maybe some of you have even switched off over the last couple of days to all things football, because you just wait on the international stuff being finished. Well, it is. It is done. And we are back tomorrow in the top flight. So what are you thinking? Come on down right now if you can on 0141 951 1025. Celtic fans, how are you feeling about the confirmed absence of Kasper Schmeichel? How are you feeling about these new contract talks with Daizen Maeda? Rangers fans, we're going to hear from Jack Butland talking Alan McGregor. St Mirren fans, bit for you as well. Stephen Robinson wants the rules changed for when second bookings are deemed to be harsh and a player gets sent off and is then suspended. I think that's a bit of a worldwide football frustration, that one. I don't know if we can drive change from Paisley, if IFAB would take heed, but maybe one day in the future we can get that overlooked. 0141 951 1025. Come on down, please. We'll kick off by hearing from Brendan Rodgers, shall we? He believes that he's keen on tying Daizen Maeda down on a new and improved contract.
Absolutely, if there is that possibility to do that. I've spoken with Dermot and the club and spoken with the player and hopefully in the future that is something that can be done. He's been absolutely brilliant for us this season. Wherever he's played, however he's played, he's had an amazing season. So of course, you would love to tie up one of your best players. There's absolutely no doubt he earns every penny. And like we feel, as a club, he deserves more. So we want to do that, but of course it has to work both ways.
I don't know the process, Hugh, so I'm not going to like over-exaggerate, but just, you know, he is saying that he's personally spoken to Dermot Desmond about it. Maybe he does that on every issue, but you know, it sounds like something he's keen to get moved on.
And no wonder. Daizen is the most exciting, the most entertaining and the most productive player at Celtic at the moment. He is the runaway winner of the Player of the Year competition, and Celtic are right to get him on an even longer contract. Although the cynic in me says that you do these things to prepare yourself for when somebody hits you with the big offer for Daizen. And that's not hard to understand, because he has been so good, so overwhelmingly good for Celtic. He's made everyone forget Kyogo Furuhashi. And Celtic are right to try to keep him for the Celtic fans while safeguarding themselves for the intruders who might come for him.
Yeah, I think it would be massive for Celtic to be able to tie him down on a long-term deal. I think you look at the goals and assists this season, and as Brendan Rodgers said, he really does work for every penny he's getting off the club if they were to tie him down. And as Brendan Rodgers also touched on, it would need to be personally the right thing for him. Obviously, been here a few years now, would he maybe be enticed away by some of the clubs that could potentially come in for him in some of the leagues? It's going to be an interesting one, but there's no doubt the Celtic fans would be absolutely delighted for them managed to tie him down.
Brian is on the line. What do you think, Brian?
I think it's a brilliant idea, honestly. Like, there's very few players that come along and make the impact that these Japanese players have done. Dies in my head, I was a wee bit under the, you know, under the light of Kyogo for such a long time, and then suddenly, you know, like, well, we didn't replace Kyogo, we didn't replace Kyogo, we didn't need to, because Brendan obviously saw in the training, he works with the boy every day, that there's much more to Dies in my idea than just sitting out in the wing and making good play and running hard. So I think it's a brilliant idea to get as much a contract on the table as possible, because we don't want these players out of Scottish football. I certainly, as a Celtic fan, want to see Dies in my idea playing every single game, because we say this, he's, I count the Dies in my idea's coming off, because there's more than one, definitely. And it looks like there's a player that's three players in there. Do you know what I mean? He just absolutely nothing, like, he mesmerises, he gets people off their seat. He is a brilliant player, so we must do everything. Now, to the Celtic board, there is no problem with finance, because we've got plenty of money there. It's not a finance. So if it comes down to Dies in my idea's preference to live or work somewhere else, so be it. That happened with Kyogo. But we must do everything in our power to keep this player in Scotland and add to him with that kind of brilliant football. He plays with a love of the game and he should be rewarded.
When that's, Brendan that's... talks about speaking to Dermot Desmond, then he's letting you know that the strength of the relationship he has with the de facto owner of the club. But how Brendan feels need not necessarily be more important than the club's player trading model, Brian, because you know the Celtic story. It has been successful for many, many years. Victor Wanyama back in Scotland 12 years ago, he was part of the trading model. Bring them in at a reasonable fee, sell them for a big fee. And Dyson may be the next one. But I think Brendan Rodgers is trying to let everyone know that he's gone to Dermot Desmond because he appreciates the value of the most exciting, the most entertaining and the most productive player in the squad.
It feels, Brian, though, like Celtic fans over the last few years have made their peace with that model. And take Matt O'Reilly, it was seen as like, you know, you're going to sell him and various others. What is it about this one that you're so keen to just keep rather than get a fee for? Is it because he's 27? You think he'd... that changes things, or you know, why is he one that you definitely need to keep here rather than cash in on, so to speak?
Well, listen, I want to praise the Celtic board beyond, because they are the most successful trading model probably in Britain. I mean, as high as you know, the high an accolade as you can get, because they have done their job really well. Now, if the money comes in and it's silly money and it's, you know, I fully understand, and the business of it is good. But as a Celtic fan, you don't. He gives you something just a wee bit more. You don't get, you know, like the Dies in my idea's coming through the door. I'm not saying he's a Henrik Larsson, but there's that little special something about Dies in that causes people to go to games. So that would be more valuable to Celtic than selling them. Now, that, again, works in the market, and you're right, the trading model has been fantastically successful. It's the reason why we've got so much money in the bank, why we've got so many great players, but there must come to a point where we're looking to stay on a level or move up a wee touch, where we actually keep Dies in my ideas and we add to them. You know, all that money in the bank is really good for the future, really good for the future, but the product on the park must stay, because the fans want to see a Dies in my idea. They want to see a Henrik Larsson. They want to see all these fantastic players playing for Celtic and going through their contract playing for Celtic. And if it is, as they go, when they go with our love, go on and do well. But we want to see him. I really just think it's a special, special player that we don't have in Scottish football, and we don't have much in European football when you watch it. I mean, his work rate is out in this world. It's better than,
That's why he's a commodity, and that's why people are looking at him. The work rate, the goals, like you, I would hope that Scottish football is not denied that Dyson made in a short space of time, but he has made himself an attractive proposition.
I suppose the bit we'll never know, Scott, is how he feels. he's been here what, over 3 years, is it already?
Over 3 years, yes.
So I don't know, culturally, the people from as far away as he's come here and stay for ages, or do they want it? Kyogo is an extreme example of really, really wanting to move on by all accounts.
Depends on the level of club.
He also does seem to like it here. You know, he's always got his family around and whatever. So you're looking from the outside and sort of guessing. But he's 27, so he probably is a really interesting part of his career. So there's a move left potentially. There's one big one maybe.
There's one big one. I think the level of club would be interesting to see who would put offers in for him. I think the same as what Brian touched on there. For me, I think there's some players in him, no more than anybody else, is the fact that he's irreplaceable in terms of his fundamental, how Celtic and Brendan Rodgers want to play. His work rate alone is worth trying your best to hold on to, never mind the productivity that goes along with that. So for me, and it sounds like Brendan Rodgers and Dermot Desmond and the rest of the guys will try their utmost to do everything to keep him.
You know, it's funny when Brian says it's not like he's saying he's the best, but he's talking about, you know, how important he is. Wouldn't you like to be the scout that has to find a replacement, would you?
Oh, no.
You know, if you need to replicate that,
off the top of your head, there just isn't. You can't think of anybody actually like that.
You only have to think what's happened since Kyogo left for football in France, or to sit on a bench in France. You know, Daizen Maeda is the man. Adam Ida, you know, it's not there at the moment. And Daizen Maeda is the man. He's the one Celtic must hope tomorrow has not been tired out by going back to Asia for international football during the break. They really need him. He's the best bet of a goal against Hearts tomorrow.
It's a free man press at the same time as well. He'll score goals.
That helps.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
Thank you, Brian. Let's bring in John. John, what are you thinking about the return of your team this weekend?
I'm looking forward to, obviously, to try and right the wrong for the Rangers game. But what I was saying to the girl there, what do you think, Sue? I think I've come on a phone about this boy Narowski. I think he was their only success against Rangers. I think this boy needs to run the team, because I think what Celtic lack, Scott, is a bit of steel. And I think this boy's quite a hardy player. I think he done well against Rangers. He was winning successes. I think the boy should get to run the team. What did you think?
No harm to him, but he looked good on a day when the rest looked terrible. And, you know, I'm not sure that Navrotsky is at the stage of being a first pick. But you're right to focus on the defence. It was very weak against Rangers. Trusty wasn't. Carter Vickers was not at his best. And Navrotsky didn't do anything wrong. But there's a difference between not doing anything wrong and being up to the position on a regular level. I would very much doubt if he would start tomorrow.
How'd you find out, though, if he is up to it on a regular level? You know, if you are out of the team, you know, Scott can maybe talk more about this.
Been out of the team a few times.
No offence. What more can you do, I suppose, to try and earn even just another couple of appearances? Yeah.
The counter argument I would put to your question is that Brendan Rodgers has shown, almost from the moment Mike Navrotsky was signed, that he doesn't trust him, because he's never there, and he only came back because Austin Trusty's wife was having a baby, and as I say,
I thought he was not injured in the end. I think he was injured because he pulled out of international duty as well. Anyway, okay. I won't argue too much.
Not doing anything wrong on the day is not the same as a recommendation that you should be in the team on a regular basis.
What's your take on him?
I think obviously coming in from the cold in a game like that, I thought he'd done really well, to be fair, all things considered, because it isn't easy. I think when we talk about trust in terms of managers, Brendan Rodgers must have took some trust in him from that game, because if you look at across the back four that day, he was probably the best performer for me. So not easy coming in out of the cold, and never mind at that level of game.
Are you worried about the goalkeeping situation, John, or not? Relaxed, how would you describe it?
Well, I watched the game in front of Del Carmen, so I did, and the view was, I mean, I thought that was Kasper Schmeichel's worst game for Celtic. I think he's the one that put us under pressure so much. He's usually brilliant with the ball at his feet, but I don't know what kind of, it was as if he was a a wee guy, a rabbit lost in the headlights. You know what I mean? It was absolutely terrible. It's the worst game I've ever seen him playing. So, obviously, the league is really done and dusted. So, obviously, maybe it's the right time to bring this boy in. I'd also like to see young Kenny getting a wee run in the team. So, obviously, the league's over. But I would like to see Johnny Kenny get a run. I know what you're saying there, but he doesn't really trust either. So, I'd like to get the John Kenny around the team, but obviously since Salo's got to come in if Casper's injured, you know what I mean? So it might be what he needs, a wee rest, a couple of games rest, Casper, maybe that's what he needs.
Well, let's hear from Brendan Rodgers on it. He says Casper Schmeichel will bounce back from his international disappointment as the Denmark goalkeeper waits to hear how long he'll be sidelined.
Well, we don't know how long he'll be out. We're just still waiting to hear on that. He's obviously got some issues with his shoulder. I spoke to him the other day and he's okay. He's obviously disappointed that they lost their second game, but in the main he's okay. I don't know what was said, but all I know with Casper is, and the reason I brought him here, known him so well, is because he's still a top class keeper. You know, I think if you look at his performance level for us over the course of the season, he's been absolutely brilliant. You know, and in big games he's made big performances, and for me, he still has that hunger and that desire to play. So, but I know his character and mentality, and I know how determined he'll be to come back.
Good time to call 0141 951 1025. What have you got for us? We'll find out next.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are in the building on 0141 951 1025. If you want to get in touch with them, please do let us know what you're thinking. We've waited and waited, and the Premiership is back tomorrow. Who would have thought one of the big talking points is actually in the Championship? But still, great to have the top flight with us. So get in touch, let the guys know what you're thinking, whether you're reacting to what the managers have been saying today, or you're talking more generally about how you feel the run-in's going to go. Some brilliant battles, mostly at the bottom, and maybe that top six, the European spots, that sort of thing. I think everyone obviously expects the title to be won at some point, regardless of what happened in the last meeting. But anyway, let's go back to the phones with Malcolm, who's on. How are you, Malcolm?
I'm good, yourself?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Panel. Yeah, they're all good, I think. Don't let me speak on your behalf. Are you well,
no,
you two?
Absolutely.
Fantastic.
Good. What are you thinking, Malcolm?
I'm just listening to the last caller regarding Narowski against the Rangers. The point being that, yes, he defended good, but he had to defend. But I think the biggest problem is he couldn't have played for the back. We couldn't play through the lines because he kept on going backwards, and I think that was our biggest problem. So I don't think Narowski's the answer.
Fair enough. Is that something you recognise, Scott?
I felt praise
on the day, but
I felt Ingles was part of that reason. On the day, I felt Ingles didn't really show for the ball in the tight areas the way Callum McGregor would. That was the biggest surprise for me. So,
if that option's not there, then you're bound to.
You have to go back and go around the side. Yeah, I thought Ingles was a big part in that for me in the Rangers game.
With regard to Trusty, we have to find out the state of his fitness, whether he's actually able to come back tomorrow. If not, then you have the choice: Liam Scales could play beside Cameron Carter-Vickers, or Navrotsky retains his place. I just go back to the point that Navrotsky and Lagabielka were signed at the same time for considerable sums of money, and neither ever managed to get a foothold in the first team.
Yeah, I mean, Malcolm, I think Austin Trusty was at training today, wasn't he? I'm sure, you know, Sky put up the old video of them. Of them training. I think Austin Trusty was in it. I'm going to double check whilst we're on the call. So you think the praise that Navrotsky got, yeah, he did, there we go, I've got it in front of me. You think the praise Navrotsky got was a bit over the top?
I wouldn't say over the top. He defended well in the day. He did, for coming in for the cold first game in a long time, he did well. But I think Dean Murray can progress the game better than Narodski. And I can understand what Scott's saying regarding Engels, but he never got the opportunity to play through the lines. Engels shouldn't be playing through that line. So that line should be broken up the wing or whatever by the central defence. That's the way Celtic play. That's their style, okay?
Well, you know, they'll be tested tomorrow because Hearts under Neil Critchley have come away. They're doing well. Who knows if young James Wilson might get the chance to build on his 2 or 3 minutes in a Scotland jersey. And I think that Celtic tomorrow, you know, one of the callers earlier on said right the wrong that took place against Rangers. And that will be the mood inside the ground. The Celtic supporters will not like to see anything other than a confident 3-point winning performance, because the title party in Perth has been cancelled. The title party is now scheduled for the game against Kilmarnock at Celtic Park on April 12. So if you have to reschedule the reschedule, you know, people will get irritable.
How do you feel about the goalkeeping issue, Malcolm? We've had a bit of a range this week in the phones when we speculated about it. Now Brendan Rodgers confirming there is a at least some sort of an injury there. You know, I remember one caller saying no problem at all, nothing to see here, because Sinisalo's an international. Then there was another on saying they're now a bit frustrated that Sinisalo hasn't had more game time to prepare him for this. How do you feel?
The way you frame it is an issue. I don't think it's an issue. Schmeichel's been absolutely fantastic since he's came to the club. Like, but I'm just looking forward to seeing the young lad come on, see if it can keep up. I've got nobody understands what kind of guy he is. How does he play? How's his feet? Does he come for crosses? It may be positive. I'm just looking forward to just seeing the young lad here get his opportunity.
Is the reality, Scott, that I'm not one of these that I'm not totally new school where I think that it's all about what goalies do with the ball at their feet, and it doesn't matter how, you know, because then people will say they're there to save shots. But just particularly the Celtic goalie domestically, because this can be backed up. Look how many shots they face in comparison to other teams. Is the main issue actually going to be how he helps Celtic build with the ball at his feet?
Yeah, simple as that. Brendan Rodgers always a. That's one of the things he wants. He wants his goalkeeper to be good, be his feet, start the attacks. I think for me, Schmeichel has actually been a massive upgrade from Joe Hart in terms of his feet. Yes, he didn't have his best game against Rangers, but throughout the season, he's been fantastic. Usually plays at a perfect weight for somebody to open up and then look into play between the lines, as Malcolm was saying. But listen, for me, it will be about feet. But if Celtic are going on that game model, look, they've been looking at for years, it would be no different with the backup goalkeeper. You would expect them to be
good. Don't get me wrong, Hugh, at some point somebody will let a goal in and then people will say, "Ah, see, forget what you're doing with your feet, you're there to keep it out." But I'm talking about the spread of what goes on over 90 minutes time and time again.
Yeah, there's no doubt that in the modern day game, what the goalkeeper is capable of with ball at his feet is a very important part of his makeup. Sinisalo, I always understood to be part of a plan. The plan being that Celtic would have Kasper Schmeichel in goal until such time as Kasper was ready to give up the game. And at that point, Sinisalo would come in. So tomorrow there is absolutely no chance of Schmeichel playing. I'm now beginning to think there's no chance of him playing again this season. So Sinisalo has to come in.
What makes you say that? Are you doing your amateur physio here?
No, I'm doing my amateur detective because I've never known there to be such a long period of time without a definitive response being given with regard to a player's fitness. Mm. You know, by this time, by today, at Brendan Rodgers' press conference, I expected him to have the definitive information. He will be out for X number of weeks. But I'm not suggesting Brendan is being evasive, but for some reason, Celtic still do not appear to know how long he'll be out. And it's been a very, you know, it's almost a week since the injury for Denmark.
We're not a kick in the backside off a year for Sinisalo, where he's played twice, once against Raith in the cup, obviously, and 45 minutes at Hampden against Scotland. Remember that?
Yeah.
Because they made a... our goalkeeping substitution get a bit more attention that night. That was the Craig Gordon one, wasn't it? And people thought it was the swan song and all the rest of it. But there we go. Thank you to Malcolm for giving us his thoughts. So Austin Trusty is fit. Liam Scales is not. Malcolm's not sold on Navrotsky. The previous caller was. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. See what comes out in the wash on that one. Let's hear a bit more from Brendan Rodgers. This is how the news cycle works. It might be 2 weeks on, but it's the first time Brendan Rodgers has been speaking. He was asked about it. He's answered. We play it. Then people complain that we're still talking about it. Don't blame me. Out with my control, I think, up to a point. He says the Celtic manager that Václav Černý's celebration crossed the line in that win for Rangers against Celtic before the break.
I obviously heard what had happened, and you can't do that. That's the reality. You know, I understand the jubilation, and Rangers players have every right to celebrate with their supporters. You come to Celtic Park like it would be when you go to Ibrox. You win a game of that magnitude, you celebrate, but not in that way. I think it's a lack of respect if a player runs up a touchline and he's squirting a water bottle in supporters' face. I certainly wouldn't want my players to do it. But I think we all know there's a line that we shouldn't cross. And like as I said, it is a very emotive game. It's an amazing fixture, and I thought it was great to have the fans back in. I think that gave it that extra bit as well. But I just think there is lines we can antagonise, because in this fixture in particular that can lead to an issue.
Let's bring in Andrew in Dumbarton. What's your thoughts, Andrew?
Hi panel, hope you're well.
Good, thanks, good.
So it was just based off of Roger's comments there, obviously about Černý. So I don't know, I've only seen the replays from Sky Sports and whatnot of Černý's celebration. I don't know, did he actually mean to put it into the crowd, or was it just that they got caught in the vibe, obviously, as he was running up? If he's done it to the crowd, obviously that's not acceptable, and it shouldn't have happened. But I'm sure, could be wrong, he was the manager when Lee Griffiths tied the scarf at Ibrox after the celebrating, obviously, their win at Ibrox back in 2016. Although it's not the same thing, is it similar? Would he have wanted his players to not do that? Did he come out and kind of say so after that game? I don't remember. It was just about that kind of what he'd said, but obviously
With respect, Andrew, I think that you're talking about two different things. Rangers retaliated in the case of Lee Griffiths by cutting Celtic's allocation, and it has never been restored to that level. So Lee Griffiths actually cost Celtic by doing that. However, when you bring the crowd into play, it's a different matter. And there is absolutely no question that Václav Černý was squirting the water in the faces of supporters. Now, it can be over-exaggerated, but the point I would make is that people do not go to a game to be squirted by anything, by anyone. And certainly not in that particular fixture, because it can lead to crowd disturbances. Crowd disturbances theoretically could lead to public order offences, etc., etc., etc. The bottom line is, yes, Griffiths was guilty at Ibrox, and he cost Celtic for years to come, or years to follow on from that. But players cannot engage with the crowd, because it's dangerous, and Černý was out of order.
We never, ever, ever find the sweet spot. We never find the middle ground when it comes to Celtic and Rangers issues, Scott. I think we need to all acknowledge that, and everybody that's commenting on it comes at it with their own bias. People who are calling for jail time are clearly overreacting. People who are calling for police involvement are clearly overreacting. Similarly though, people who think there's absolutely nothing to see here are also getting it wrong, because tomorrow, if you think that it's completely nothing to see, then fine, that every single game tomorrow a player can just do that and there's no issue. Clearly you shouldn't do it. Clearly you then have to find though what's your appropriate response, what's your appropriate level of anger on this. And unsurprisingly, no one seems to be finding it out there. And Andrew's even suggesting that maybe he didn't do it deliberately. I mean, 2 weeks on, by the way.
It's just Glasgow for you, isn't it? I think. Listen, I think Hugh touched on a good few points here in terms of fans don't go to games to then obviously be squirted by water by any player. I think as a player, you have a sense of responsibility, especially when before these type of fixtures, the police do come in and say that you have, as I says, these are role models for some kids and all the stuff that usually goes with it. And your job's not to antagonise it because it's already such a heated derby. So as a player, you know these things before the game kicks off. I think in the heat of the moment, and in terms of last minute goal, players can get overexcited. Obviously not from here, and might not know the consequences that it can lead to in terms of outside the stadium. So it's, for me, it's a tricky one, because I get why both sets of fans are angry for different reasons.
The other point I'd make is that while Rangers are actively engaged in trying to get better behaviour out of their supporters, because UEFA have made them fearful of the partial closure of the stadium, then you have to discourage players from getting involved with the crowd. And you know, you can't have it one way and the other. Tierney was in the wrong, and that should not be repeated, because, as you say, Gordon, otherwise you'll start off a trend and people will be going to games wearing raincoats.
But that there are also degrees of wrong. That's the whole point that people seem to be overlooking. You know, it's not like saying that it's the worst crime in the world. You're allowed to acknowledge that it's wrong, though, and it shouldn't happen. I was going to say maybe no one's got the appetite for this debate 2 weeks on, but I'm looking at social media and it would appear I've underestimated the audience again in Glasgow. So there we go. 0141 951 1025. Good time to call. We'll get you on next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen is here, so is Hugh Keevans. 0141 951 1025 is the number that you need. So please do give us a call. Let us know how you're feeling ahead of the weekend. Massive weekend of domestic football all up and down the country. Really, we're focusing mostly on the Premiership because it's back. We're going to be so hard to ignore Somerset Park. Roger Hannah, who likes going there anyway, will be besides himself. The storylines, old newspaper man like he is. I have to say, I went down to speak to Scott Brown the other day, and then to East End Park, and I hadn't been to either for ages, Hugh. So it was nice to go to them both and revisit. But we've got big games in the Premiership tomorrow. Let's bring in Kenny, who's a Hearts fan. Can you go and come and cause an upset, Kenny?
Of course I can. It's football, Gordon. You know what I mean? Evening, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Pleasure.
No, I'm looking forward to it tomorrow. Actually, me and the kids are going as we do every week, home and away. I'm liking the way Neil Critchley's got. He's building a nice wee squad there, you know, and I'm not going to think he's Celtic. I'm going to think he's my team, but I think he's building a wee set-up there. You know, he's getting his wee chance to bring in players, and it's looking good.
Not that it's okay for Hearts to lose a derby, Hugh, but they've only lost the derby and the Rangers game since the other derby, probably, on Boxing Day. So they have built up a decent steam.
Yeah, I think Kenny would obviously agree that they were a disappointment against Hibs. Hibs deserved to win and then some, but Hearts were not at their best. Celtic, after an international break, can take a while to get going when your players have been in Asia or on the other side of the Atlantic. Then it can create its own problems. I think Hearts will be difficult for Celtic tomorrow. I don't think by any stretch of the imagination that Celtic will come out and cruise to victory. And then there's also the imponderable. Just how good is Sinisalo in goal? The guy at the other end of the park, 42 years old, the Celtic fans know only too well how good the goalkeeper Craig Gordon is. So I think Hearts come presenting Celtic with more than one or two questions to answer. And Daizen Maeda will need to be bang on it tomorrow.
There was that famous day last season, booing Santa Claus, etc., when Hearts came and won, Scott. But actually, that aside, Celtic's record at home to Hearts is pretty good.
Celtic's record at home to anybody. Anybody is good. Listen, I still think it's a real difficult tie for Hearts. I think they're obviously looking to cement that place in the top six. I think since the turn of the year, when the players have come in, I think there's been a lot of quality added to the squad. albeit I still think Celtic after the back of the Rangers game, yes, guys have been away, yes, Kasper Schmeichel will be missing, but I still think Celtic will have too much for them. And Hearts, in the next couple of weeks, there'll be more important games where they realistically look like they could go and win for me.
I don't think you'll have enjoyed the game too much, Kenny, but James Wilson being away, mixing it at international level, can that benefit Hearts going forward?
Well, first and foremost, it's good for James. You know what I mean? He's a young laddie, and it's good to see them getting a wee opportunity and a wee bit of time on the pitch. But it's all positives for young Scottish players, really, guys. You know, you're just saying about Celtic players being away. Know that they're going to be starters tomorrow, but we've had two away with Costa Rica, and we've had other players away, you know. But no, it's good to see the James Wilson's great, and think about it, the oldest guy to be capped the other night for Scotland and the youngest guy to be capped. That's a fantastic achievement.
I think the one for you tomorrow is Elton Cabangu. I think Celtic need to pay a lot of attention to him, Kenny.
Listen, he's got legs in him, Hugh. You know what I mean? I'm thinking it's Khartoum. I think he's, you know, the last game with the two nights goals. He's one to watch as well, and I'm glad to he's playing in Maroon.
Well, we're looking forward to it. Should be a cracker tomorrow for us on Clyde One Super Scoreboard on a Saturday afternoon, Celtic against Hearts. So we build up to that one as the show continues tonight and then again tomorrow afternoon. Let's bring in George just before the news. How's it going, George?
Fine, thanks.
What are you thinking tonight, George?
Well, I'm just thinking all the debate about the water stuff with Germany. There's two sides to it. If I'm sitting in the crowd and I decide to throw a cup of water at a player or a policeman in the stadium that day, I'm arrested for assault. It's pure and simple. I lose my season book. I lose my privileges as being a supporter. I might end up losing my job at it, but it's a simple thing to say. Oh, I didn't mean that, or it was a good hijinks because for the role. I'm not saying it because it was Germany. In any football ground in any stadium in the world, if it happened, that's the consequences for a fan. So there should be consequences for their actions, especially for Germany.
I find this really tough, right? Because I hear this a lot, Hugh, and I don't have loads to compare it to. If I always think that the people choose their words very carefully as well. Yeah, yeah, I've no doubt. If you walked up to a policeman in a stadium and poured a cup of water over his head, yeah, I think you'd be in bother. If you were a fan and you scooshed something as a player ran by, would you get arrested for assault and lose your job?
No.
I'm not sure, but no. George seems pretty convinced about it.
No, I think you can exaggerate. As I say, supporters don't go to games to be squirted by anything, by anyone. They are entitled to sit and think that they're there to watch the match. That's what they paid to do. But if it was a supporter with a player, you'd be thrown out of the ground, and rightly so. But you're building it up into a life-transforming situation here, and that's not the case. We can't over-exaggerate what Václav Černý did. It was daft. It was deservedly called out by Brendan Rodgers today, who said it crossed the line, and it did. But let's not exaggerate what would happen if it was the other way round. You know, you've got yourself out of a job and minus your season ticket, George. You'd be thrown out. And the problem with Černý, if a player goes to the crowd after the scoring of a goal and embraces the crowd, he's booked. And he's booked because he might cause people to surge forward, and he might cause an accident, and someone might get hurt as a result of him doing what he did. When Černý did what he did, people come forward, and you don't want to see anyone hurt because of that. The player should simply be told, look, that is absolutely out of the question in this city, given the nature of this rivalry. Do not, under any circumstances, do it again.
What do you think, George? Final word to you.
It's a public order offence, and they should. He's causing people that are heightened on a day to be even heightened. As I said, it doesn't matter where it's Černý. I'm talking about football in general. It should have consequences for the player that does it. Either bans or...
What would your idea of consequences be then, George?
The SFA should do something, take action against...
Well, it's an SPFL match for a start.
The SFA would do the disciplinary stuff on that, to be fair. But yeah. But what does that look like, George? So you want them banned for games or what?
Well, if I used to coach football, and if I did something on the touchlines, I was responsible. I had to go up for a SFA committee, and I had to prove my point to them to make sure that they investigated it properly. And it happens in junior football, amateur football throughout the game, but this just seems to be swept under the carpet as a bit of hijinks. It's not, it's something that's wrong. It's wrong in the game now, and he got away with it at this moment in time. There's been nothing, and his manager even, you know, didn't say anything about it. Or I want my players to celebrate. I celebrate in the right way. Don't antagonise people.
Yeah, I did wonder about that, Hugh. You always get the public facing, but I wonder if anyone at Rangers has even just said, listen, don't do that. Even if it's just that, yeah. Even if it's, listen, gonna no do that again, but yeah. Publicly we'll say,
yeah,
you know, let's no one should be naive. Barry Ferguson's not going to sit his press conference and slaughter Václav Černý, but I wonder if there's even just been a please don't do that again. But that's not far enough for.
In a week in which Rangers issued a statement after the UEFA ban or UEFA fine, saying that the extent of their anger towards those who are bringing Rangers' name into disrepute. Well, don't have a player bring your name into disrepute. Just tell them that's completely out of the question.
Then some people would say those are separate issues anyway. Let's have a bit of fun. Let's brighten things up, shall we? Well, thank George for his time. And it is that part of the evening where we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on, beat the pundit time. Hugh Keevan's promises he won't chuck anything over Scott Allen if he wins. 01419511025. Give us a call. You need to get them in before 7 o'clock.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. 01419511025. That's the number that you need. So come on down. Let the guys know what you're thinking on the eve that the Scottish Premiership returns. And this is it. No more pesky international breaks getting in the way between now and the end of the season. This is it. So much drama still in store. So buckle in, because it should be a cracking end to the campaign. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. How's the form, Hugh Keevans?
In and out.
You can do a bit of climbing with a win. You're like, who would you be? You're like Motherwell. You can move into the top half with a win this weekend.
I'm Michael Vimmer.
Sort of, something like that. Scott Allen, you've had a busy week. You've been keeping your eye on the football. Are you?
There isn't much football in apart from the Falkirk Livingston game.
No stories doing the rounds, we'll see. Okay, let's meet Duncan, who's from Ayr. How's it going, Duncan?
How are you doing, all right?
You're a Rangers fan from Ayr, Duncan.
I'm so aye.
So you're not tempted to go down to Somerset and take in Neil Lennon and Scott Brown? Is that more of a Celtic fan thing to do?
No, no, really.
Victor Wanyama doesn't even help that equation, does he? Anyway.
No, it's no doing it for me.
I'll try my best. Right, anyway, Duncan, we'll talk football a bit more after this. Have you ever played before?
Years ago, it was before COVID. I played Jim Duffy and he beat me in a tiebreaker.
That was a long time ago. Still the same, you'll be pleased to know we've not changed much heads. It will be Hugh Keevan's tails. It'll be Scott Allen. And it is heads. It's Hugh up against Duncan from Ayr. So give Hugh something else to listen to, please. Nice and loud, so he can't hear Duncan's attempts. And the rules are the exact same, Duncan. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Go.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Which two teams play in Sunday's Trust Trophy final?
Well, pass.
Václav Černý's on loan to Rangers from which team?
Wolfsburg.
Which former Aberdeen manager has a statue outside Pittodrie?
Ferguson.
True or false, no goalkeeper has been sent off this season?
False.
Killian Phillips is on loan to St Mirren from which side?
Pass.
Name the only Scottish venue to host Euro 2028 games.
Hampden.
Who was the last Scottish team Jack Ross managed?
Hibs.
Rangers. I'll give you it. Rangers signed James Tavernier from which club in 2015?
Wigan.
Okay. You ready, Hugh Keevans?
I am.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock. Your time starts now. Which two teams will play in Sunday's Trust Trophy final?
Queen's Park and Livy.
Václav Černý's on loan to Rangers from which team?
Wolfsburg.
Which former Aberdeen manager has a statue outside Pittodrie?
Sir Alex.
True or false, no goalkeeper has been sent off in the Premiership this season?
True.
Killian Phillips is on loan to St Mirren from which team?
Pass.
Name the only Scottish venue to host Euro 2028 games.
Hampden.
Who was the last Scottish team that Jack Ross managed?
Hibs.
Okay. Duncan, what do you think?
I think it'll be tight.
Let's find out then. Which two teams play in Sunday's Trust Trophy final? Queen's Park Livy. Hugh got it 1-0 to Hugh. You both knew that Václav Černý's on loan from Wolfsburg. You both knew that the Aberdeen manager with the statue is obviously Sir Alex Ferguson. So Hugh still leads by one. True or false, no goalkeeper has been sent off this season. I assume that's the Premiership. It doesn't say Premiership on here, but I think it is. It's true. 10 for defenders, 5 for midfielders, 2 for strikers, no goalies. So Duncan fell on the wrong side of that as well. Killian Phillips is on loan.
Palace.
Crystal Palace. None of you got it, but Hugh stays in front. He'll keep his lead because Hampden is Euro 2028's only Scottish venue. You both went Hibs.
Dundee United.
Jack Ross.
Oh, sorry, bro.
After that. Duncan got time for one more. He squeezed in, and I was maybe quite generous, but I think we got it just in time. James Tavernier signed from Wigan. So, do you know what, Duncan? It wasn't bad at all. You got a 4, but you met a man in form who managed to get a 5 on the board. Hard lines, Duncan.
Aye, Kenzie stuff.
Sometimes.
I wouldn't go that far.
Sometimes he does. What are you thinking then? Premiership's back, Rangers are back, Barry Ferguson, etc., on the high after the Celtic game. What's on your mind going forward?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm a bit weary with Rangers. They're good in the big game, so fingers crossed we can do it against the kind of so-called lesser teams. That's where we've kind of tripped ourselves up this season, so fingers crossed.
Do you think they can? Because how many times have we had this discussion now, and there have been so many times when people have assumed that Rangers would kick on in these games and it hasn't happened. Do you think this time's different?
I've no idea. I take the bad news and hopefully then I'll not be disappointed.
They've had a decent international break. You know, Raskin has received a standing ovation while playing for Belgium. Černý has scored a wonderful goal for the Czech Republic and so on and so forth. And they are on the rebound from the win over Celtic. So I think that they, under Barry Ferguson, they will go to Dundee tomorrow night and I think they'll win comfortably.
I'm really intrigued to see it, I think, because the last game against Motherwell, we were expecting Rangers to go and dominate. It wasn't like that in the end. Obviously Motherwell came with a clear game plan and managed to take it out in Rangers. I think Dundee, obviously off the back of the Dundee derby win, felt they were excellent on the day, they had a fast start. So how Rangers set up and how they kind of affect Dundee will be really intriguing for me, and that is the one question mark over this Rangers side. Can they go and do it away from home and consistently and build on the back of the Celtic result? So I think most Rangers fans will be thinking the same thing, looking forward to it for that sense.
There's just so many examples. Again, I know it's a different manager, but remember the Tottenham performance then into the cup final, and I know that didn't go their way in penalties, but it was heralded as a good performance. Then that's when the St Mirren and Motherwell defeats came, wasn't it? They then, is I'm getting this in order, bounce. Then there's the 3-0 against Celtic.
Yeah,
that's the high point of the season results wise. Then on to, is that when Hibs and Dundee then come?
Yeah, so it was
on the back of that as well.
I know
it's a different Rangers team, but again, we've just not seen. We've not seen loads of these games yet. That's not saying Barry Ferguson can't or won't, but what we've seen so far is a defeat against Motherwell and a win against Kilmarnock, but in far from ideal circumstances.
I think the double event, knocking out Fenerbahce followed by winning at Celtic Park, I think that's changed the mood and created the momentum, and I think they'll carry that into the game against Dundee.
I know, but do you know what I'm saying though? I've just outlined quite a few examples this season where they don't build up momentum. It's going to take more than momentum. I think they're going to need to be. It's going to need to be a different game plan to break these teams down.
They need to keep themselves on a high because they have Athletic Bilbao coming to Ibrox the 10th of April. You want to go into that match feeling good about yourselves. I just think, as I say, the double event, Fenerbahce Celtic, I think it's created a different mindset.
I don't think. Okay, maybe I think we're arguing different things though. Because my point is it about mindset? Is it about momentum? Is it about confidence? Maybe it's not actually about those things. There's another one. Union San Gilwa win, top the group on a high, beat Ross County 4-0 the next game. That's it, we've cracked it. Queen's Park's the game after. So how do you...
But that was under Hercule Poirot.
But that's the point. He got results in Europe and against Celtic. You know, it's the next bit that's always proven the challenge.
Tactically, outstanding away in Istanbul. Tactically, excellent away at Celtic Park. Tomorrow will be a different type of tactics. But you need individuals in there to create moments of magic as well, and to be on at the front foot from minute one, because that's what Rangers have been, slow starters in these sort of games throughout the season. I think Duncan kind of summed up perfectly. He's absolutely
just
no clue.
Don't know what's going to happen. Duncan, what does the rest of this season look like then? What's the main priority? Is it just about winning every game, seeing where it leaves you? Do you have, you know, can Barry Ferguson win himself the job or not? What's the priority from now on to the end of the season?
I think we've just got to try and claw back as many points and make it look a wee bit more respectable for the outside, and obviously go as far as we can in Europe as good as he can do. And I would have no objections if he keeps winning to him getting the job, but I know that's a bit of a, no, everybody's in the same line of thinking as me there, but I wouldn't mind him getting it.
Well, you know, it's in doubt, Duncan, because none of us have any idea how Andrew Kavanagh feels about anything. And if and when the deal is finalised and Forth and Enders Enterprises become the owners, who knows? But I think he's certainly moving along at a rate, Barry Ferguson, that would encourage you to think that he will not just end the season at Rangers and then go back to being a Daily Record columnist. I think he's shown that he can be a positive influence about the place.
Thank you very much to Duncan on the line. Let's hear from Jack Butland, actually. He's talking about that topic, using the rest of the Premiership campaign to build the right foundations for success next season.
Yeah, look, they're important games. Every game now is, regardless of where we're at domestically or in Europe, these games between the end of the season are an opportunity to give the fans something back, to give the group something to finish the season on a high, and wherever that puts us and takes us. The European games are vitally important, but we still need to finish the season strong. We still need to go into the summer with some real momentum and some real positivity looking forward to next year. There's lots of things. We've had lots of reasons and excuses and things like that, and there'll be a lot of things to look back on at the end of the year, and as a club and as individuals and as a group to put right ahead of next year. But the best thing you can do with that is do it now. Start now. Start trying to build something. Start trying to really nail down a culture and an expectation. But we've spoke about it. I know we've had conversations all season about this consistency. And it's not necessarily always a consistency of performance, but a consistency of what we're about, what we need to be, and how we need to approach every game, which at times hasn't been good enough for some of the games and it's cost us, and other times we've shown what we're capable of. So that sort of gap between what we've produced and what we don't want to produce, is we need to reduce that.
I think, is there maybe a bit of a clash here, Scott, between kind of normal common sense that what Jack Butland's talking about, we'll finish the season on a high, try and build something, try and take it into next season. But the Rangers fans have probably been stung by this stuff before. They've done this before. They've got results against Celtic maybe at the end of a season, or there was a season where they won the Scottish Cup, or, yeah. And this always happens, and then the next season comes around and it doesn't lead to anything. This summer's got so many unknowns, as Hugh says, because don't even know who's going, what the ownership's going to look like. Don't know who's the manager, so that's a completely separate thing. But this notion that you build on something, try and carry it on next season, it should work, and it sounds like a plan, but it hasn't always for Rangers in the past.
No, it hasn't, and a lot of that has been down to the recruitment. I think there's no denying that. I think losing players is well, who they've had on loan, who have went elsewhere, then trying to find another one. I think losing Seaman and bringing in Cherney's been a massive coup for Rangers. That's kind of like for like in terms of numbers that he's produced, but they might need to do that again come the summer. I think Jack Butland kind of hits the nail on the head. I think he did mention mentality, which is... And we're talking about the approach to the game, that's the insight from the player himself. He's obviously an experienced player now in that change room, and from what he's seen, he thinks they've literally turned up to games with the wrong approach.
I think Bilbao is everything for me. If Barry Ferguson were to knock out Bilbao, he would be causing me to think that I might have got something right by saying that Rangers would make the final of the Europa League.
So I think he needs backed up by a bit of a consistent domestic run.
Yeah. He needs, for as long as Rangers are in Europe, they need to complement that by winning, going strong domestically. One helps the other. But I can imagine at the end of the season, now come down the road with me, just a wee bit.
Okay.
Were Rangers to win the Europa League, can you imagine what this programme would sound like? If Celtic won the treble, what's better, a treble or a European win?
And even by your standards, you're getting excited and carried away here.
This is what could happen.
You asked us to come down the road with you. That's a long road.
Well, you know, never rule out anything in Scottish football. Did you think Victor Wanyama would be at Somerset Park tomorrow?
Not particularly. I don't know, though. I've never compared the chances of Victor Wanyama playing for Dunfermline to the chances of Rangers winning the Europa League. But you could be right. We should never be surprised about what Scottish football can throw up. Right. But anyway, 01419511025. William is on the line. How are you, William?
Yeah, no bad. Hello, Gordon, Scott, Hugh.
How are you thinking tomorrow, then?
Yeah, what I'm thinking is, right, what the panel says, are making some good points tonight, right? What they're not picked up on is that Rangers have had all their best defenders back for the first time for maybe the whole season. Sutter's back, Balogun's back, Sterling's back, Yilmaz's back, Tavernier's playing a lot better. But under a sticky spell, playing out his skin, Fenerbahce, Celtic, I think that's giving you a good base. And plus the fact, she was mentioned, Raskin, out of his skin, Cherny's playing really well. I think the defence is gives a good base for the rest of the season. What do you think, panel?
Yeah, look at some of those disappointing results that we mentioned. That last run, the one that saw Philippe Clement, etc. John Souter wasn't there, Scott, so does he make a big difference?
He makes a huge difference. I think you've seen that early on in the season when they were going through the rough patch. I still think he was Rangers' best performer. I think you see him in your team. He has that composure on the ball to bring the ball out. But some of the blocks, and even internationally as well, I think if he's not playing the other night against Greece, it's heavier. I think he is the heart of the Rangers defence at this moment in time. He's the one who can make players round about him better. So I think William's got a great point there. That is true, looking back at some of the results. But Rangers fans would expect players coming in and taking their jerseys and being given an opportunity at a club like that to come in and do better.
They'll certainly need to be top of the form against Bilbao at Ibrox, because the tie's the wrong way round. Any manager, Barry Ferguson included, would want it to be the other way. The Basque country, first of all, and then Ibrox for the second leg. But they're going to need all of those defenders to be top class and go to Bilbao very much in the tie.
You're not wrong, William, because obviously it's a team effort and it protects you against what's happening at the other end. But I wonder if maybe more of the challenge in games like this is what Rangers do with the ball and what their attacking players do and how they break Dundee down.
Yeah, I think you're right, Gordon. But you've got to admit, people at Raskin, Cherny, even Dessers at the moment, young Ingerman, They've been coming to the fore the last two or three or 4 weeks. You know what I mean? Especially Dessers. I mean, he's a man transformed, but I think they'll go to the attacking player. I'm wondering if the panel will think, will he stick with his three at the back tomorrow, or will he go more attacking? What does Scott think about that one?
That's it, Scott. This is what we're talking about, because those guys, and they have been good at it. Sounds like I'm taking away from them. They've been excellent in the last 3 weeks, but they also all played against Motherwell Ibrox a few weeks ago. You know, those attacking players that William mentioned.
That was my point at the top of the show, why it's interesting to see how he's now going to go and set up for this away game at Dundee. Will it be a three? Will it be a four? It's hard to change. Well, it's not hard though, because it's a different mentality going away to Celtic, and the game is different. So,
William, we're not letting him sit on this fence. Come on, what are you saying? Rangers stick with it, or can Rangers play a back five against?
No, I think it goes to a four.
What about you, William?
I don't think he'll change that much. I think he's found a system. He's got Cherny, who got a license to roam. He's got Dessers playing better, and he's got his two wing backs with the back three. I can't see him changing it, to be honest.
Fair enough. We'll find out. Let's tomorrow see. Evening. It's the later kickoff, isn't it? Thank you, William. 01419511025. Got a good full time teaser coming up and plenty more of your calls next.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. 01419511025. That is the number that you need. So get in touch. Let us know what you're thinking. You can tweet as well at Clyde SSB. Let's give you a teaser tonight as well. Quite tricky, I have to say. I know that's not what you wanted to hear, is it?
No.
Sean McWilliams has sent it in, and thank you to Sean for it. He says, can you name the last 10 players to score in an Old Firm game and they've got more than 20 international caps? So can you name the last 10 players to score in an Old Firm game and they must have more than 20 international caps?
Callum McGregor?
Yes, he's got 63 Scotland caps, 63 and out because he's retired, of course.
Lee Griffiths?
No. I thought you'd get a couple more just off the bat. Nothing.
James Forrest?
No. What about, just think maybe more recently, players that have scored in the fixture. That's a bit of a place to start.
Stephen Naismith?
No, recently I said. My goodness.
Grumpy since you became a father.
Come on. Who've scored in very recent meetings between the sides?
Daizen.
Yes, 23 caps for Japan. Take one more. No, nothing. Anything at all. Couple that are still at the respective squads. Then obviously some that have left because it's the last 10.
Cherny?
No. Has he scored? I think he's scored in the game recently, has he? No. Okay, I'll leave it there. Can you name the last 10 players to score in an Old Firm game and they must have more than 20 international caps? Okay, let's see what you've got. Let's go back to the phones on 01419511025. David's on. How are you, David?
Hi, good.
What made you call tonight?
I was having a chat with my brother and we were talking about changes to the game. We're talking about VAR, but he asked what rule change would you make to make football more attractive? And I think it was a podcast he'd watched, but he was given the referee the option to reverse throw-ins and to stop time wasting, or reverse goal kicks to corner kicks if, let's say, they're wasting time to keep the game going and flowing.
Oh,
I
wow.
thought that was quite a
I love it when we get these questions just off the just total left field, putting us in the spot. And that's the type of thing you would go for, is it? If you could change one rule.
You know, football's great when it's fast flowing and, you know, end to end stuff and it's entertaining. But, you know, if you get to the point in a game and, you know, teams want to shut it down, or you know, it's a throw in, so the player marches up the line and then the referee tells him to get back and it's like back here and then it's running around and then he'll take a booking, so the referee comes over, he books him, right, you know, the books him, and you know, that's 2-3 minutes wasted. Whereas if the referee had the power to reverse it, he'd go, throw the ball in, no, right, it's a change. So instantly the team goes from attacking to having to defend, and it would increase the speed of the game. I just wondered what the panel thought.
Well, we're watching games now that last 99, 100 minutes already. I think we're in danger of overcomplicating.
David maybe would be speeding things up, maybe.
It's all right when you're not the players, haven't you? go like that for 90 minutes.
Time is clearly one of the big issues, though, isn't it? Because the one that they actually are, they're bringing in the 8 seconds, is it, for a goalkeeper?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a corner. That's the punishment. If the goalie holds on to it for longer than 8, it's going to be a corner. So I think it's quite interesting.
Yeah,
because
I like that. I can see the thinking behind that.
Because time, I think, is the one that you probably could or should do something with. I know that the World Cups and then football, was it the World Cup or the Euros that started it, and then football changed a bit and the added times got really, you know, really extreme, but there needs to be something, because games might be 90 minutes, but for me, it's always been a bit inconsistent that you can have a game where the ball's in play for 40 minutes or the ball might be in play for 65. You know, it can be so different. So I don't know if I could go full stop clock like basketball type.
No.
But I feel like if you've got a league and you're comparing games, you should kind of try and have the ball in play for similar amounts of times in all the games, no?
I know, but I feel when balls do go out for throw-ins at certain times in games, it's a chance for the team who's maybe earned their...
It's not about you getting a rest, for goodness sake.
Organised.
Unbelievable. I don't think it's perfect, but I don't know. There are a lot of games where the ball and play time's embarrassingly low, and it's like, what's the point in the game lasting 90 minutes then?
Don't the referees have enough in their minds already? You know, there's so much going on, there's so much communication taking place with the VAR office, and you know, we're in danger of making the job of referee impossible.
What about David, if you're wanting to speed things up, what about you? Because I think I was talking to someone about this recently, weirdly, it's the type of life I live, and they said if you get a free kick you can just take it, you can take it straight away anytime you want.
I like that.
Don't need to wait on the ref, no matter what. Foul, ball down, go. Because why should the defensive team get to benefit? Why should they get to go and reset and everybody stands over the ball and so on? So as soon as you're fouled, as soon as that whistle goes, you can grab it, put it down and go.
Well, I watched the Celtic Hibs game, and there was a case of it. There was a throw in for Hibs.
That's right, yeah.
And the Hibs player grabbed the ball, the static ball, but it was at 30 feet away from where the throw-in had been conceded, and that's why Schmeichel, who made a very, very good save, he was very angry and animated after that, because clearly the throw-in had been taken way, way, way.
And the problem is that would have stood, because VAR doesn't get involved with the restart of play sort of thing. So you really need to spot that at the time and do something about it. What do you think, David? Anything else?
It was more so to give the referee
the power.
More power. Mm-hmm. As in, like, it's like a decision he could make, and the players would be aware of that, as opposed to, you know what, I'm going to take one for the team, and I'm going to waste 2 minutes because we're trying to slow the game down, which is a tactic, and the players use the rules as they are to, you know, bend it to that way. So if the referee had the opportunity to say, you know, blow the whistle, throw the ball in, and if the player stands there and looks at him for like 10 seconds, just, you know, reversed, and it goes to the other team, and then you bet the other team who's behind is going to be, you know, going. And that's what everybody wants to see, you know, in the football. They said it's like, you know, the high energy, the fast attacking, you know, these moments are magic. And it's given the referee the power to overturn or reverse a decision to increase it. I know what the point you said, you don't want to over-legislate, but just giving them the power to that they can make that decision.
See, at the same time though, David, is there not something nice about it as well? Just old school. I mean, if you go to Bilbao, you're a Rangers fan, and you go and take a lead and you stink the place out and you're stealing yards at throw-ins, it's brilliant, is it not?
You must like a different kind of football to me then, you know?
Oh, come on. We've all been there, surely. I know what you're saying. Yeah, listen, you're obviously a purist who's looking after the great interests of the game, and I admire you for it. But I'm asking you, be honest. It says on my screen here you're a Rangers fan. You'd be loving all those behaviours if it went on in Bilbao, would you not?
I'd rather the all-out attack, you know. No, I'd rather it was like, you know, 2-3-0. You know, this, score a goal, park the bus, football, mentality. No, I've got to be honest, no, it's not. It's it might be sweaty palms and the game being driven by money the way it is, that, you know, the motivations are, you know, just to win outright. It's a lot more comes into it now. And, you know, this small decision could, you know, make it more of a competition about the game rather than... can you shut it down?
For the avoidance of doubt, I don't think anyone would not rather be 3-0 up in Bilbao. I'm talking about whether that's possible or not. You know, I wasn't confused as to whether you would prefer to win the game 5-0. I'm talking about, you know, at times when you're up against the better team, etc., and these things need to take place to get you over the line.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was, like I say, it was an interesting thought. You go, the VAR decisions and stuff, like, you know, it has slowed it down some point, you know, to some extent. But to be fair,
the VAR is there to make sure that you get the accurate decision. So if you slow it down and, for example, Scotland do not concede a penalty against Greece in Piraeus because VAR said, no, it's outside the box. Mm. And it was. So, yes, you've slowed it down a bit, but in the interests of not having a miscarriage of justice.
See, VAR's a whole different argument here. I like David's question. Just these hypothetical things that you would change. Mike, VAR's a different issue that seems to get everyone going, and it has its good points and its bad points for sure. Funnily enough, on that topic, let's hear from Stephen Robinson. He says there's been an admission from the Scottish FA that Toyosi Olasanya shouldn't have been sent off for a second yellow before the international break. You remember it, Motherwell? Yeah. The striker suspended though for tomorrow, and the manager would like to see a rule change on that one.
Yeah, Toyosi suspended, which is a real frustration for us. So that's the third second yellow card that's led to a red card. We've had an apology for that. Shouldn't have happened, shouldn't have led to a red. And unfortunately, we get punished on the Saturday because we have to play over 20 minutes with 10 men, which we've done brilliantly and should have won the game. And now we get punished, double punishment again the following week. So that's been three times that's happened now. And, you know, they can't review yellow cards. But when it leads to a red and it's that blatantly wrong, then it should do. And we're having double punishment for that. Along with other teams, by the way, we're not the only team this has happened to. We're top of the league for decisions against again, but as I say, these second yellow cards, we're not the only team this has happened to, but it's like double punishment, which is incredible. You get your apology, and unfortunately it doesn't change anything.
I do love the way the discussion's now changed you with the yeah. advent of a KMI panel and of a VAR review, because Stephen Robinson says they're top of the league for decisions against.
Yeah.
But those who are not, so people will rubbish the KMI panel when they want and say it's a Dundee right, it's irrelevant, we don't like it, why would we listen to them?
Yeah.
But if it shows that you're the top of the Injustice League, you will hold it up.
I think Stephen's got a point.
For the second yellow thing.
Yeah, you're talking double indemnity here. Yeah. You know, being punished on two fronts for something that shouldn't have been allowed in the first place. So I do think he's got a point, and Olasanya is so important to St Mirren. Out of contract at the end of the season. I think he's got a good move in front of him. I think he's a very, very dangerous player. He's had fun with the Celtic defenders and the Rangers defenders this season. And that's why he's a big miss tomorrow. And he's out for reasons that are unfair.
There is nowhere in world football that you can review a second yellow. You know, it's just not an IFAB. So yep. It would take more than us. I'd like to think we could drive it. You know, it'd take more than us. It's not a Hampden thing, a Willie Collum thing. It's going to need world football to change it. But I think there probably is an appetite for it.
Yeah, I think when you see how that's a horrendous decision, that second yellow, that's as bad as you'll ever see. I think if a manager, depending where you are in the league, and that's one of your most important players, it does have obviously an outcome in the next game and points come the end of the season where it could place you. So that for me, the Toyosi Olasanya one was up there. The worst how he even came to that decision.
Your best pal Andy Halliday was on here on the Monday saying, I bet he committed 8 fouls in the game, should have been sent off before that. It wasn't me that said it was him, blame him when he's back. Look, the obvious problem with it is, because we've had this discussion before, it's come up before, how do you get around the issue of the first yellow card you receive in a game is a joke decision, should never be a yellow.
Yeah.
But the second one is a nailed on yellow, you get sent off. Mm. You can only review the second yellow. So how, there's still injustice there, just flip the other way around. How'd you fix that?
That's for you and Willie Collum to work out.
Oh, it's for IFAB, that's the thing, way above either of our heads. But do you know what I mean? It's the counter argument that you always hear. Because it can happen that way. It never gets the headlines, obviously.
No.
What we need in this programme is a resident lawyer. We need two pundits, a presenter, and a resident lawyer sitting over there that we can go and ask for a legal judgment.
I'm not convinced. Anyway, right, 01419511025. The teaser, can you name the last 10 players who've scored in an Old Firm game and have more than 20 international caps? Maeda, McGregor,
Diamande?
No. 20 caps.
Lustig?
No.
Kyogo?
Yes.
Hatate?
No. One step forward and two steps back for you two. At least, I mean, we're talking Old Firm games over the last few years, and it's taken you until now to mention Kyogo. That's what's worrying me. I think you're train of thought here. As an example, anyone else currently in the Celtic attack who's scored in this fixture?
Right, okay, so it's not Kuhn, it's not Ida.
It is Ida.
Is it?
30 international caps for Ireland.
Did he?
My goodness. What do you mean, did he? Did he score?
No.
I'm surprised with the 30
caps.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, back after these. Tackle the headlines. 0141-951-1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Scott Allen and Hugh Keevan. Still time to squeeze in a call if you're that way inclined. Or let's see what we can do in this teaser. Can you name the last 10 players to score in an Old Firm game, and they must have more than 20 international caps? Thank you to Sean McWilliams. Well done to you, Sean, for sending that one in. He emailed us, as you should do, fulltime@clyde1.com. That's fulltime@clyde1.com. You've got Daizen Maeda, Callum McGregor, Kyogo, Adam Ida. Any others during the break?
Scott Arfield.
19 caps for Canada. Hit the post.
Hadji.
Yes, 47 Romania caps.
Barami.
Yes, 33 Albania caps. Okay, you've got four to get. They are all before the Adam Ida goal. So going back, reverse chronologically, Maeda, Barami, Hadji, McGregor, Kyogo, Ida. The remaining four are prior to those, but we're not going back like a great deal of time, to be honest. What a spread of countries as well. Some very close to home, some miles away from home, somewhere in between. I'll give you some more time.
Tom Rogic.
Yes, well done. He was the miles away one, in case you couldn't grasp it. Tom Rogic, 53 Australia caps. Right, what else is on your mind for the weekend? What have we not quite got to yet? Aberdeen Motherwell, Hugh. If you're looking at the top six race, so currently Hearts are in there on 39 points. The most popular theory would be that Hearts will lose at Celtic Park. Forgive me, Neil Critchley, you may well prove that wrong. Motherwell 1 point behind, so obviously they would be kind of eyeing up, can they go to Pittodrie? Can they win? St Mirren are just a little bit further behind there on 35. So
Aberdeen remain for me unconvincing. And I wouldn't rule out Motherwell getting something at Pittodrie. I'm not absolutely certain they'll win, but Aberdeen remain in that unconvincing state. So that for me has the look of a draw about it.
Yeah, I was going to say the exact same thing.
Yeah,
draw written all over it for me. I think Aberdeen, yes, they have improved. They've got guys scoring goals, but Motherwell look really organised, I think. Away form looks pretty decent. I think they've got players in there who can hurt you, so looks like a draw.
Like how tight it could get though. That, and again, I'm playing out hypothetical results here that might not happen, but if it goes to form and, or like, you know, odds and Hearts lose at Celtic Park, say Motherwell manage a draw there, they go level with Hearts. But then if St Mirren were to beat Kilmarnock at home, perfectly plausible, then those three would be separated by 1 point.
Yeah,
going into the last two games pre-split. I know it's got its faults, Hugh. We'll never get away from them. I am not saying it's perfect, but when you get that type of scenario going for the top six, it's great.
Oh yeah. You know, even though the teams who are involved would all have to agree that they have not had the best of seasons, but when you get to the bit where the prizes are given out, and top six is regarded as a prize, it becomes exciting. St Mirren will miss Olasanya dreadfully, and Derek McInnes, I think, will take advantage of that.
Again, you really be hoping they can, because they sort of need it. 1 point above the relegation playoff spot is old pal Tony Docherty. That said, do you do that thing again where you think, oh well, Rangers will beat them, but they might not, as has been proven many times. So yeah, there's no doubt Kelly are one of the teams that really, really need to try and look upwards, Scott.
They really do. I think the positive they'll take from last time out against Hibs was Hibs should have took 3 points in that day, and they managed to keep going and got an equaliser late on. I think for me, I still fancy St Mirren at home against Kelly. I think even touching on Motherwell and Hearts, I'm sure Hearts are away to Motherwell last game before the split as well. And that's when the split comes into play, and you can look at it and go, it's actually been really exciting this year. There's still teams from, I think, fourth down to ninth who can still make a right good push for it. So really looking forward to it.
Your old team going to do the business. They're at home to St Johnstone. Yeah. So if there is such a thing as an easy game to call on paper, it should be that. But Scottish football, again, doesn't necessarily work that way, but the home record's been fantastic, hasn't it, Easter Road?
Yeah, it's been outstanding what David Gray's done there. I think, like I touched on a minute ago, in terms of away to Kelly, I felt they'd done enough to win the game that day. They've obviously had a bit of a break now, boys been away for international duty. You would expect nothing less than Hibs to run out winners at home to St Johnstone.
What is it, not lost at home since November? I think something like that. Only draw against, well, the Rangers went there and drew.
Three each.
Yeah, the home record's been unbelievable under David Greyhew.
Well, they sum up the eccentric nature of our Premiership. You know, at one time bottom of the table, the axe hovering over David Gray's head, as we like to say in the press, and now going for third. It doesn't come much more eccentric than that.
It's been a long, good run, though, hasn't it? I suppose you're always looking as well for, you know, how players come back. High profile examples are when they don't make it, like Kasper Schmeichel that we've discussed tonight. We spoke about that Aberdeen Motherwell game. You know, does Lennon Miller come back with a spring in his step, having you know, experienced it a couple of nights in the Blythewood, hanging out with Scott McTominay and John McGinn, maybe picking their brains? You know, you just wonder what sort of effect that has.
Yeah, no question.
Keen to game of football since Steve Clarke was reluctant to give him one, so he'll be keen to show that he's tomorrow where the Scotland squad are concerned. You know, the James Wilsons, the Lennon Millers, they are tomorrow, because today's getting a bit wobbly.
Yeah, I think for me, Lennon Miller obviously been away with that calibre of players and seen these guys, and now obviously you look at McTominay, obviously been at Manchester United, now in Napoli. You look at John McGinn, captain Aston Villa. You would fully expect he comes back saying, I want a piece of that, and he knows he needs to be consistent and perform for Motherwell, and that opportunity might just present itself come summer to go to a prestigious club.
And Hugh, I know you're comfortable in the studio on a Saturday afternoon, but if we could tempt you anywhere, the seaside air tomorrow, Dunfermline, that's got you written all over it.
It would have to be. You know, it's a movie. when Lenny met Bruni, you know.
Tell me you tuned in for my fact last night.
Oh, I did, yeah.
Wait, this is a man who's not heard it. What links Neil Lennon and Scott Brown, apart from the obvious? They've got the same birthday.
Really?
And so does Victor Wanyama.
There you go. That's
weird. So good I've repeated it twice this week.
The stars.
How did you find that out?
Scott Brown told me, weirdly. Well, he didn't tell me the Victor Wanyama bit. He just said that him and Neil Lennon, he was talking about all the things they've got, and, you know, similar characters or whatever. And he kind of said, he just threw a wee line on, we've even got the same birthday. And then somehow someone pointed out that so does Victor Wanyama.
That's, so there you go. That's truly weird.
The thing
spooky.
Is, though, it's all well and good. Dunfermline need to hope this works, Scott. And then, you know, we make no secret about it. You were close to Michael Tidzer when you were at Kelty. He went, got 8 league games. They literally could not have gone in a more different direction, because this was supposed to be kind of young manager project, etc., where this is now seen as, let's get this guy who'll keep us up. Whether that works or not, we'll find out.
Yeah, listen, I know quite a bit on the situation at Dunfermline in terms of players being recruited this season, and obviously I knew the previous manager for Tidzer, James McPake, who have a really good relationship as well. So
is it true the owner likes to pick the team?
It could well be, Hugh. I think you ain't picking Neil Lennon's team, though.
Well, that's the fascinating thing, because Lennon,
and he wouldn't have signed Victor Wanyama, obviously.
No. Yeah, but
Neil Lennon will go two up front, I think. Try and go for the win and try and get some confidence into the side, albeit saying that Dunfermline just haven't really performed consistently all season. squad to me looks a bit fragile in terms of the voices coming from the stands at East End Park. So let's hope they start well, because it'd be an interesting half time team talk.
He's either got the chance of a terrific double whammy by beating Scott Brown and Ayr tomorrow, and then Davy Martindale and Livingston at Dunfermline on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Or he loses to Bruni and he loses to Davy Martindale, and at that point the owner is doubling the number of phone calls, and it can all get a bit hectic.
Something's telling me earlier in the show, I said we had championship action tonight, and it's been eating away at me because we don't. They're all tomorrow. Ayr Dunfermline, Morton, Partick Thistle, Mark Wilson. How is he going to cope? And Hamilton, Raith Rovers as well. Right, let's finish this teaser. The last 10 players to score in an Old Firm game, but they must have more than 20 international caps. Maeda, Barami, Hadji, McGregor, Kyogo, Ida and Rogic.
Rabbi Matondo.
No. Nope. Which country does he represent?
Wales.
Same country.
A Aaron Ramsey.
Yes.
Stuart Armstrong.
Nope. Non-Scots, these two. One European left, 23 caps for Sweden. Not Mikael Lustig.
Striker?
Nope. Central defender for Rangers.
Helander?
Yes. And the last one should be so easy, because he must be the only player of this nationality to score in the fixture. Please tell me I've not missed one. 30 caps for Zambia.
Fashion Sakala.
Fashion Sakala. There we go. Thank you, Hugh Keevans, and to Scott Allen. Thank you for keeping with us this week. It's been a quiet build up as we get there, but tomorrow it is showtime. Premiership action is back. We are here, 2 o'clock. Make sure you join us. Hugh Keevans, Gordon Dale and Marvin Bartley in the studio. The top team round the grounds. We look forward to it already. So enjoy your Friday night in the company of the GBX.